Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Local Shop Podcast. I'm Chris Noyce, and this is the podcast, as always, for everything to do with the convenience sector and the issues facing local shops. On this episode of the podcast, we're going to be talking to Head of Retail Operations at Camelot, Julie Bryan, about the changes to Age of Play, everything to do with it, all the timings, everything retailers need to do. Hopefully that will clear up a lot of the questions about what's happening. So really looking forward to that. But first, a quick note, this is our 50th episode. As James Lohman would say, big cricket fan, raise the bat for that one. We are 50 not out so far. It's been a close call. We've had a couple of episodes with cans and string, and a couple of episodes where we just sort of shout at each other and hope someone else hears it. Plenty of episodes where I've just been talking into an empty room, but we are moving on. We've had some great guests on the podcast so far, and there is a lot more to come. More improvements with the podcast, more guests, more topics. We're going to be talking about the budget soon. We're going to be talking about, obviously, the route out of lockdown, as if you weren't already aware. So stay tuned for that, and thank you for listening so far. It's been great to have you on. This episode, of course, is the sexy stuff. It's the good stuff. It's regulation change. And we're not just talking to Camelot. We've got some stuff around assured advice and what's changing on that. But I will get into that later, because I know that a lot of retailers are wondering what's happening with Age of Play, what's happening, what the changes are. So without further ado, let's get to it. Let's get Julie on and let's hear a bit more. I'm joined now on the Local Shop Podcast by Julie Bryan, Head of Retail Operations for Camelot. Hello, Julie. Thanks for coming on with us.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. So I guess ACS and Camelot have a bit of a tied history in that we've both quite recently celebrated our 25th anniversaries. And of course, huge change, not just for ACS, but for Camelot as well, and the whole sector over the last year. How's 2020 been for the business?
Yeah, well, it's you couldn't write it, could you? You know, it's been an interesting old year, and from a business perspective for us, it's been a phenomenal year. I think with all of the challenges that we've had and our retailers have had, so I think one of the points to kind of draw you to is the £800 million that's been raised for COVID. Community issues through the pandemic. So I think without National Lottery retailers and without the sales that we've been able to maintain through this period, we wouldn't have been able to contribute to all of that to the people that actually need it at this difficult time.
Yeah, and it was a bit touch and go at the start. I remember the early days of the pandemic, the idea of enforcement officers going in and saying, no, you can't sell lottery, you can't sell Easter eggs, you can't sell chocolate bars, you can't sell anything that would be remotely considered non-essential. But then thankfully that all went away just as quickly as it appeared.
Yeah, it did. I mean, we were pretty much deemed as part of an essential shop. And it was difficult, you know, like our retail sales team came off the road. We had all of those challenges in store around the products, but we've found ways to continue to support retailers and then back to us as well. You know, that they're still selling and the sales, you know, are continuing to come through. And I think what we are seeing through our terminal estate is that it's very resilient. So it's great that we've got a product that actually is part of a regular shop. There's a lot of, you know, we've seen playing habits change. So we know that a lot of our retail players aren't going out specifically just for lottery. They are working it into their essential journey and their shopping. So I think it's fitted in really well for retailers and for our players.
Yeah. And it's not been just a extremely busy and extremely tumultuous year for you in terms of the business, but also when it comes to regulation, there's a lot on the horizon. We've heard lots of bits and pieces about Age of Play and changes and lots of different dates. What's happening with Age of Play for lottery products?
Yeah, okay. So I think as you mentioned at the start there about our 25th birthday, that was almost a trigger point for the government actually just to revisit the Age of Play for the National Lottery. You know, we're 25 years old, 26 years old now, and it was the perfect time for the government to just look at whether the rules that they put in place back at the start are really fit for purpose. If you think our portfolio's changed with the games, and also we've got a digital channel now, which we didn't yep. have previously. So the government started looking at reviewing the age, and they launched a consultation back in 2019. And basically the conclusion of that, which was announced back in December, is that the age to play the National Lottery will be raised from 16 to 18. And okay. The dates that you mentioned, the couple of different dates, that change is going to come into force from a legislation point of view on the 1st of October, 2021. So we're actually implementing the change from a Camelot rule perspective on the 22nd of April. And as I say, a lot of retailers have asked us, well, why is it going to take that long? But actually, when you work through the different facets of this, there are quite a few considerations to make. So if you think over the years, every piece of point of sale that we've put in store has got the age on it, has got, you know, you've got to be 16 sure. to play. So yeah. if you think of how that's kind of built up over the years, we've got to do a really good assessment of the estate to make sure that everything's removed, we've got everything in place, you know, all of the legal documentation is in store, and retailers are compliant. So that's why we're going in April, to support retailers to make sure that by the legislation date change, nobody's breaking the law.
Yeah. And is there something as well about, because obviously people who purchase lottery products don't necessarily redeem them straight away. Is there something there where you have to have a period of time built in just to make sure that someone isn't unwittingly breaking the law by claiming a prize after October?
Yeah, it's a really good point. So I think with the prize payout, we do have 180 days to claim your ticket. So you've got, you know, just 6 months or so to claim your prize. But a lot of people do claim, you know, immediately after a draw or after buying a scratch card. But there is always going to be that. And we've got, within all of the communication that we're sending out to stores, we've got a really clear plan as to how retailers should tackle that, especially with scratch cards and how old you were before and after the date change. So we can, we've got all of that laid out for retailers to explain it.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It's one of those things that it's such a big change. But like you said, it goes through the whole of the business, right through from all the point of sale. It's not just flipping a switch. So yeah, it makes sense that the retailers are prepared.
Yeah, absolutely. And it starts really soon as well. So if you think our rules are going to change the 22nd of April, from next week, actually, from the 1st of March, that we're starting to send out all of the point of sale items that a retailer will need to start messaging this to players. So there's some core items in there that will go at the main points of purchase, whether it's the PlayStation or at the terminal or at the PlayStation dispenser. And they need to be displayed from next week, actually, right through post the 22nd of April and into the summer, just to message it. I mean, to your point, you know, people will come in at different points in time. So sure. maybe if they bought something in April and they don't redeem it until into the summer. So we just want that messaging to stay consistent in store to signpost that.
And am I right in saying that that will be consistent as well with the online customers, in that the change for online is going earlier than it is for in-store from a regulatory standpoint?
Absolutely, yes. So the date is changing on the 22nd of April for digital purchases as well. And we wanted to be really consistent with our players, you know, to avoid confusion that, you know, that they're seeing the same messages from Camelot, from the National Lottery, wherever they play.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. And from a retail perspective, it makes a lot of sense, because it then... it avoids that potential confrontation, that confusion of people saying, oh, I can do this here, but not here. And if everything goes at the same time, then you know, everyone's in the same boat, and hopefully it'll make sense to people. So you mentioned that there's a box of information of point of sale landing on people's doors on Monday morning. Let's get into the impact on retailers then. And we talked about age of play changing to 18. What's the impact likely to be for retailers that are employing people who are 16 and 17?
Yeah, great. So, yeah, it's a really interesting point. We're actually consulting with the government on that one at the moment. So the legislation that is going through Parliament currently states that you have to be 18 to sell the National Lottery. Our rules that we would be sending out through the post do actually state that you can be 16 and 17 to sell, because that reflects these conversations and the ongoing consultation we're having with the government. So that's one.
And as you said earlier, the legislation doesn't come into October, so we've got that period of time where we can get everything ironed out. Yeah,
absolutely. So from a Camelot rule perspective, 16-year-olds can still sell the National Lottery as they could do previously right up until October. And then we'll be in touch with updates as to how the consultation has gone with the government.
Okay. And if we get to October and you get the sort of concession from government that we're looking for here on 16, 17-year-olds, where does that then put lottery with other age-restricted products? Just so retailers have a sense of how sort of colleagues should behave with regards to selling those products.
Yeah, so I suppose a lot of retailers will be aware of the sort of assisted sale route of alcohol. So 16, 17-year-olds can sell as long as there is an 18-year-old that's present. That isn't the route that we're taking. We would like to go for 16, 17-year-olds. So that pulls it more in line with tobacco and a lot of the other age-restricted products in store.
Okay. Great. So in the meantime then, and it's a two-part question, I guess, in the meantime between April and October and then after October, and I know we mentioned there are a couple of things that are yet to be finalised, what's going to happen with enforcement, with test purchasing, with sanctions, and what do retailers need to do to make sure they're not falling foul of the new rules?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So I'll take post the 1st of October first,
sure,
if that's okay. So from that date, when the law has come into to pass, we will be kind of relaunching our, what we used to call Operation Child. We're relaunching that as Operation 18, and that's our mystery shopping program, which a lot of retailers will be aware of already. It's something that we've run for years within the National Lottery. And that is going to run in exactly the same way as Opchild did. So, you know, there will be test purchases carried out in store, and retailers will be told whether they pass or fail those visits. It's kind of a three strikes and you're out. So the sanctions that accompany that program, you know, you are at risk of losing your National Lottery retailer status in your terminal if you kind of, you know, fail on three separate occasions. So that's from the legislation date change in October. In order to support and prepare retailers before that date, from April through to the end of September, the agency that supports us with the programme will still be visiting stores to really support retailers and embed the education of the change, the age change, to make sure that they are aware of it. They'll also do a sweep to make sure that any old 16 point of sale that has been given out on Operation Child visits in the past has been replaced. And then that the sanctions through that period won't result in losing terminals, but it will be a letter to state, you know, yes, if the program was running at this time, you would have passed or you would have failed, just to give that level of comfort to retailers as to where they stand.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So in terms of the key dates then, as we just finish this up, and I think we've made this a lot clearer, I definitely understand it a lot better than I did about half an hour ago. So 1st of March on Monday, there'll be something in the post, which will be retailers when they start to prepare for this. And then 22nd of April, that's when the change comes into effect in the business. Everyone moves to 18, but 16, 17-year-olds can still sell the product. And then October, we are aiming for 16, 17-year-olds to still be selling as they have been over the previous 6 months. But if the government decides to do something different, then there'll be an update then. Those are the three key dates, I guess.
Yes, they are absolutely the key dates. Yeah, well summarized.
Okay, so get those in the diary, and first thing to do, as Julie's saying, is look out for that box on the 1st of March. If retailers have any questions, if they have any queries, if there's any sort of weird situations that come up that need questions? And that's, you know, in the rest of this podcast, we've been talking about assured advice. The whole point of assured advice is dealing with those weird questions and weird scenarios that come up that no one's ever thought of before. Where can retailers go for more information?
Yeah, there's a couple of different places actually. So I definitely encourage retailers who are signed up to our retailer hub to access the hub. There is a dedicated area on the hub that's launched already that will have a lot of material on there. It will even have PDFs that you can download, use to train your staff, use to put on the, you know, staff notice board with all of the key dates on. So that would be one. The second, of course, would be the retailer hotline. They can always like direct your calls that way. And also we've got face-to-face visits that are starting as well from our retail sales team that are back out on the road. So they're starting specifically on aged play from the 1st of March. Okay. So somebody will be walking through the door to support you as well.
Brilliant. Really appreciate you coming onto the podcast to clear a lot of these things up for us and for retailers. And thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thanks again to Julie Bryan for coming on the podcast and being so gracious with her time and open and honest about what's happening with the change. It is a big change for retailers, of course. In store, there are lots of things that lottery touches in the store, whether it be point of sale, whether it be till rolls, whether it be pay slips, all that kind of thing. All of that's going to be changing. So, you know, as we've said a few times in that discussion, watch out for the box that appears on the 1st of March. I did promise some changes around assured advice. More of that, like I said, the sexy stuff, regulation change. The big one, which is coming in October, is around allergen labelling. Now, you'll probably know this, you'll recognise this as Natasha's Law. And essentially what it means is that from October, if you sell products that are pre-packed for direct sale, so for example, if you make the sandwiches in store, put them in a packaging and then put them out for sale, or if you cook up soups, for example, if you cook up a soup from vegetables, whatever it might be, from the store, put it in packaging and then put that out for sale, then you need to put a label on those products which show not just the name of the food, but an ingredients list with all the allergens on there. There will probably be a lot of instances of things that may or may not be pre-packed for direct sale and some situations where there might be some confusion. Thankfully, that's what assured advice is for. So if you have any worries about what is and isn't pre-packed and when it is, you know, what you need to do, then please get in touch with us because we have Surrey and Bucks on hand that can make those distinctions for you, can give you assured advice, which wherever you are in the country, in England or Wales, we're not quite there in Scotland yet, but it's just best practice in Scotland, but wherever you are in England and Wales, you can follow assured advice. And you know, that means that whatever local authority you have, they have to respect that advice if it's been approved and of course, if it's been followed. So please do get in touch with us if there's any questions about what you have in store, what's pre-packed, what's not pre-packed. I should say you can still sell unpackaged food and food that is packed at a customer's request. So, for example, a deli counter, if you've got open containers of things and someone says, oh, I would like this potato salad or whatever, and you pack it for them at the time, that's still the same after October. You obviously need to make allergens available to the customer if they request them, but the packaging requirements and the allergens on the packaging are still as they were before. All of the detail on this is in our food safety guide. So best thing to do, go to the website, go to the food safety and hygiene guide, and have a look there, because all of the info you need should be there. The next thing we want to cover is around CBD. And again, there's been a lot of conversation about what's happening with the CBD market. And there is a change happening on food products. So only CBD food products. This doesn't affect the sort of hand creams and the vape products. If you want to eat the hand cream, it's up to you, but it's not going to be determined as a food product. It's just those sort of gummies and those kind of things that some retailers might sell. Essentially, from the 1st of April, anything that's been on the market after the 13th February 2020, and again, I'm not going to go all into all the details because I appreciate it might be difficult to note all this down straight away, but the main date is by the end of March. If you've got anything that's essentially come on the market in the last year or so from 13th February 2020, that will have to come off the market because the FSA are trying to make sure that anything on the market from the 1st of April has a validation as a what's called a novel food. Essentially, the only thing as a retailer you need to do is if you sell these products, talk to your supplier and say, you know, I'm selling these products. I just want to make sure that, one, this was on the market before the 13th of February 2020 and that I can continue selling it. And they will be able to give you that information. We are working with our Assure Device partner, Surrey & Bucks, to get more information as we get closer to this date. And Surrey & Bucks, I know, are working with the CBD Trade Association. And I know they're working on getting some new information to retailers on that as well. So watch this space for that. The final thing to pick up on is something that has come about as a result of our exit from the European Union. We haven't just got some blue passports. We do have new markings on products. So the humble CE mark that you will have seen on things like toys, electronics and fireworks is coming to an end. The CE mark will be no more by the end of 2021. And what is replacing it is either a UKCA mark or a UKNI mark. And again, pretty much no action necessary for retailers. Just be aware of these things. I think if you will start to see these products coming into stores over the coming months if you haven't seen them already. And I guess it's just something to be aware of if a customer asks. So if a customer picks up a fireworks, or if they picks up toys or whatever, and they say, "Oh, there is no CE mark on this. What's this UKCA thing?" Then you can say, "Well, this is as a result of EU exit. There is no other issue around it. It's absolutely safe." You can continue to sell CE marked products if you have them. If they've already been made, that's not a problem at all. But you should see the UKCA or UKNI ones coming through shortly. As I said, all of the regulation change, all of the current regulations, all of the best practice we have for retailers is available on our website as part of the Assure Device and the other guides. So please do check that out for all the detail. This podcast is not intended to cover absolutely everything, because it would be a long and arduous listen, I'm sure, but hopefully this gives you a flavour of things that you might need to do, things that you might need to keep an eye out for in the future. The final thing for me just before we go is to talk about an event that we've got coming up, which is absolutely essential for everyone, not just retailers, everyone in the sector, and that is our annual crime seminar. This is where we launch the 2021 crime reports, talking about all the crimes that retailers have experienced over the last year, everything from theft, abuse, violence, robbery, burglary, fraud, lots of really nasty stuff there. But it's important that we come together and talk about what can be done, what government can do to help. And I'm really encouraged that the Minister for Crime and Policing, Kit Malthouse, is going to be speaking at the event. So please book onto that as soon as you can. This year, especially really important, because there's been a big change in the abuse that retailers have faced. We've talked about this on different episodes of the podcast. We've heard stories from retailers about how COVID has really made, especially verbal abuse and those spitting and coughing and threats and those kind of incidents, much more commonplace. So we're talking about that and the rest of the crime and policing response from the government and from local police. And of course, we're just a couple of months now away from the Police and Crime Commissioner elections. So please do book your place at the crime seminar. It's 23rd of March online. It is a free to attend event if you're an ACS member and if you're in the sector as well. So go to the ACS website, acs.org.uk, book your place on that, because that is, like I say, one of the big ones of the year, one of the really important ones. So I look forward to seeing you there. That's everything for this episode. As I said, please do check out the Assured Advice. Please look out for, if you are a lottery retailer, look out for that box on the 1st of March. Thanks once again to Julie for coming onto the podcast. And if you like the podcast and you're not already subscribed, then do so. Make sure you get episodes before anyone else. And follow us on Twitter at Local Shop